The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. Yet the word you hear is not mine, but that of the Father who sent me. I have told you this while I am with you. The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I told you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give it to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. You heard me tell you, I am going away and I will come back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it happens, so that when it happens, you may believe." The Gospel of the Lord. So we're still in the middle of the Easter season, well, getting toward the end, in the sixth week of Easter, and so we still have 2 weeks left. And so, as is the church's custom during this time of Easter, we have before us the Gospel of St. John. And in particular today, we're right in the middle of the farewell discourse in St. John's Gospel. And it's a significant portion of John's Gospel, so in my opinion, it's worth giving some context for before we give a deeper reflection on the actual passage, just to give some context. So this takes place right after the Last Supper scene in the Gospel, where Jesus empties himself and washes his disciples' feet. And this is setting the tenor for everything that he's going to say afterward. And then this goes on for about 5 whole chapters in John's Gospel, so that makes up about a quarter of the entire Gospel. It's a significant portion of it, and so we're right to take note of that, especially since these are Jesus' last words to his disciples before he undergoes his passion, death, and ultimately his resurrection. It's his instructions for his disciples for after he's raised from the dead, how they are to continue his work in the world. And so we especially need to pay attention to these words. I mean, it's always good to pay attention to Jesus' words, but especially these ones because we are Jesus' disciples living after the resurrection. And so we need to take them to heart. And this isn't just for a statistical breakdown of the gospel. It's to help us get into the passage we have before us today. In fact, the passage that we have, the lectionary cuts it off a little bit at the top and the bottom. So we're just dropped mid-scene, and we don't necessarily have any idea why Jesus is just saying this. But it's prompted by his disciple, Jude, who says to him, "Master, how is it that you reveal yourself to us and not to the world?" And so Jude is picking up on something of a distinction here between Jesus' disciples and the rest of the world as two different entities. Jesus doesn't give like a direct answer. Instead, he kind of reorders the thinking. He says, "Whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words." So Jesus reorders the distinction. It's not around us versus them, it's those who love me. So he upholds the distinction, but it's important that when we look at ourselves as Jesus' disciples, the thing that characterizes that is precisely our love for him, our clinging to his words. It's not enough to say, "Oh, I love you, Jesus, but I don't really do anything you ask. I don't really care what you say." No, part of discipleship, part of living the Christian life, living the life of love that Jesus has marked out for us, is to love him in return and to keep his word. It's not about just being a good person. It's about following Jesus all the way to the cross and to new life. And it can, this distinction between us and the world, it can get us to a bad headspace where we start to look at the world and think, oh, the world is going to heck. If I were to take a show of hands, how many people here think that the world is perfect? Really? Now I have to rethink my homily. I think we all know that the world is not perfect. But that doesn't mean that we have to start saying, well, let's just let the world go off on its own and we're just going to hunker down and hope for the best, that we can just ride out the storm. No, because we hear earlier in John's gospel that God so loved the world that he sent his son to redeem the world. Jesus lived a life intensely for the world. In fact, he laid down his life for us while we were still sinners, and we are to do likewise. We're supposed to live that life for the world, that life of self-gift. And ultimately, that life looks exactly like that. Jesus went to the cross, and we're called each and every day to take up our own cross and follow after him. But personally, I don't wake up every morning and when I see the crucifix think, yes, that's what I want to do with my life today. It's usually like, I don't think I'm ready for that. I really need help to do that. But that is the life that we're called to. And it seems a little bit difficult on the front end looking at the cross. But we have good news in the gospel today because Jesus says, I have told you this while I'm with you. The advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I told you. He gives us the Holy Spirit to live this life. Now, when we hear the Holy Spirit, we can get into this kind of Star Wars-y thought, like the Holy Spirit is this force out there that we tap into. But the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. He loves us, and God sends him to us to live the life of love that he calls us to. And that life of love, even though it does involve a cross, it also brings us peace. Jesus says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give it to you. So it's not just the absence of strife. This is, again, these are his last words before he's arrested and goes to his death. That's not normally what we'd think of as peaceful. And yet he's speaking of peace at this moment because the way of self-gift is the way of peace. And it's receiving the Holy Spirit that we're able to live into this life of peace. He breathes his very spirit into us. And more than that, every time that we come to this altar in worship of Almighty God with offering worship to the Father through Jesus Christ in the Holy Spirit, he feeds us with his very body and blood. And we celebrate today Nicholas's First Communion. And many of us have already received communion for many times. And each and every time, Jesus strengthens us to live a life of peace, a life of love for the world, a life that restores the world. And today, Nicholas, Jesus comes to you in that same way to fill you with his life and so that you also can be a force to change the world. That might sound like a lot at this point, but really, even you have the power to change the world today. Each and every one of us, when we come to this altar, have the power to be a force of change, of the force of Jesus' restorative life in the world. We're able to bring the world back to order, bring the world to peace. That's what he's commissioning us. That's the life that he calls us to each and every day. And so we come to the altar. Jesus feeds us with his body and blood, and he sends his spirit into us so that we can bring peace and life to everybody that we encounter.